You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 28th, 2021. This story just popping, and I don't know how bad it's going to be before it's over with, but it certainly deserves attention. There's a report that China is now preparing to build a military base on the border with Afghanistan. China has already been making best friends with the Taliban in Afghanistan. And the report is supposedly the lawmakers in Tajikistan say that China will build it, but it's going to belong to Tajikistan, not China. Yeah, right. If they're building it, and of course, that area has endured some of the most severe repercussions of the Taliban jihadists seizing Afghanistan the past year, including a flood of hundreds of Afghan soldiers fleeing the country. But now that they're going to accept that China will help them with the building a fort and arming it, and at the same time, China has recognized the Taliban officially as the formal government of Afghanistan. I smell something there. I'm not sure what it is, but I don't see anything there that says that's good for us. And to that extent, the State Department is now acknowledging, kind of acknowledging, yeah, we're off in that count on the number of Americans that are still in Afghanistan. You know, they said, well, there might be 100. It could be 200. And yesterday they came out, it could be 500. And now the word we're getting that, no, there might actually be thousands of Americans left in Afghanistan. That means they are hostages. They are hostages of the Taliban or ISIS or Al-Qaeda or all. If they cannot leave, then they obviously are hostages. Don't take my word for it. This actually comes from a news organization that's actually pretending and doing a good news job. I'm going to give them credit for it. NBC News. Their NBC News senior investigator, Cynthia McFadden, said the State Department, quote, is not really monitoring, doesn't have the real number of people with legal status to live in the U.S. who are still stuck in Afghanistan. But they estimate there are thousands. Now, that is among just the Afghans that we said we would bring out. But to me, that also suggests there are probably a lot of Americans still mixed in, which I do remind you that some sources have said, experts of the Afghans we brought into the country, 40 to 60,000, the numbers, again, they won't let you know. Only 3% of them, only 3% were some who were, we were obligated to bring in because we told them we'd protect them. Who are the others? We don't know. We're supposedly vetting them. Yeah, right. The New York City largest police union asking a judge to temporarily halt the implementation of that vaccine mandate taking effect November 1. They say almost a third of the police force already had immunity, and suddenly they're a health risk. The fire department preparing to shutter as many as 20% of all Big Apple fire companies, take 20% of the ambulances off the street. Do you think that's going to work for them? Of course it's not. And then a Yahoo News YouGov survey just released said the majority of those who are considered fully vaccinated are still wearing masks. You were told if you get vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask? No, they're still wearing it. And the U.S. economy crashing in the third quarter. resurgence of COVID-19 infections, supply chain disruptions, which are going to get worse. Our gross domestic product hitting only 2%, well below. And various industry leaders are warning the federal vaccine mandate that Biden wants, which does not exist. OSHA has done nothing about it. It's still Biden's executive order. They don't have to follow it. It's going to make things worse. And you won't find this in our state-controlled media. Florida and Governor DeSantis, they have the lowest COVID rate in the nation. How about that? You think you're going to see the state-controlled media report it? Right.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We also cannot have the federal government coming in exceeding their power. Some of the stuff that they're doing with the federal contract, they're really rewriting contracts, and they're transforming normal contracting into basically public health policy. And that's not anything Congress has ever authorized. And so that's a huge problem. Of course, the OSHA rule is a heavy-handed mandate, never authorized by Congress. They're using really obscure provisions to try to jam something down that will really have a significant impact all across the board. So we do have a responsibility to stand up for our authority here to govern ourselves and also make sure that this constitutional system of ours isn't out of whack.
That is, again, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, and announcing today that they're filing a new lawsuit against the Biden administration. We'll get to that in a moment. Obviously, that's part of the lead. We had that earlier as well. But he's talking about this federal overreach. The federal overreach. And that, I think, is what so many Americans right now, if you missed our first hour in my interview with John LaBoutière, former New York congressman who lives still in New York State, and he is a Reagan Republican, not a Trumper. We got into a pretty good little discussion, would be a kind word of saying it, about the vax mandates and so forth, and who should, who shouldn't, and why, and so forth, and so on. And I strongly appreciate John and respect him in many ways, and I think it's a two-way street, but we have a big disagreement there. Where I'm going with this is that this has been weaponized by the Democrats. We know that. It was a perfect storm in this last presidential election. Oh, there Larry goes again. He thinks the election was stolen. It was fraud. So, you know what? I don't know that there was enough fraud to steal it and so forth, but I have a lot of questions. And when I look at the way some of these ballots were handled and not properly cured, and or they were coming from people who had not lived at such an address for a long time, or we had them gathered up by fellow Democrats saying, well, I'll pick them up. I'll come grab your ballot and take it for you. And or even a drug dealer caught with a lot of ballots in the back of his car. You think there wasn't some hanky-panky? You'd be stupid not to think so. We're going to get into that more in the next segment because according to Adam Schiff, or as Trump would call him, Pencil Neck of California, the Republicans don't want minorities voting. I got more to say on that in a moment. But let's just deal with these mandated rules that are being pushed on us on the vax or the else you're going to lose your job. The GDP numbers, our gross domestic product numbers, which I reported in News and Commentary, and I'll remind you again, I call it News and Commentary because I also give you commentary. It is not just straight news. I never pretend it is. I'm making it clear. I'm giving you comments. I wish to hell the major network broadcast, be they radio, TV, and or print, would acknowledge it when in their news sections when they start inserting opinion. But they won't do it. They just want you to believe it's all part of the story. But the GDP numbers are down to 2%. 2%. They were expecting maybe 2.9. It's worse than that. And it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. Listen to Governor Ron DeSantis talk about all these mandates and lockdowns and the impact on the economy.
If you do this, if you force this, there's going to be an attrition of people. People are going to lose their jobs. They're going to get fired. Others may just voluntarily walk away. That is going to throw a huge wrench into the operations of so many different aspects of the economy. And right now we're in a situation where, I mean, yes, we're happy in Florida. People are looking to us. We've done a lot better. But the United States as a whole ain't exactly lighting the world on fire when it comes to the economy right now. So why would you want to be able to do that? Do you think this is going to help the supply chain problems that we see? Do you think it's going to help lower gas prices? Is it going to help all these problems that we need to do? No, if anything, it will exacerbate. So practically, it just doesn't work.
You don't have to be an economist or have any schooling at all in that to know, yeah, that sounds right. There's nothing there that's going to help us. And let me reemphasize something I said in News and Commentary, because you're not going to see this on the state-controlled media. They were mainstream media when Trump was in the White House. But now that the Democrats have the White House, they have both houses of Congress, it's state-controlled media. Governor Ron DeSantis' office also put out for immediate release. Florida reaches the lowest case rate in the nation. They add, in following up on the release, as a result, and of course it's praising DeSantis, who hopes to be in the White House someday, and he may well be, as a result of Governor Ron DeSantis' leadership and our data-driven approach, free of mandates, the state of Florida has one of the lowest COVID-19 daily average case rates in the last 7 days per 100,000 residents. The governor added, without mandates or lockdowns, COVID-19 cases in Florida have decreased 90% since August. In addition, the cases hospitalizations have plummeted in our state. This has been widely accomplished by making monoclonal antibody treatments and vaccines widely available through our state while protecting Floridians from government overreach. And the government overreach again comes back to the fact that you're going to mandate you either get the shot or you're going to lose your job. Now, John Labutier is making a big deal. Well, why do you think doctors and nurses wear a mask in the surgery room? I said to protect themselves and to protect you. I don't deny that as well. And he said, you try to do a surgery, and you're going to say you're not going to wear a mask in there. They won't let you in there. I'm sure that's true. That's protocol. But we've also been told, even Dr. Fake said, the masks don't do any good. Oh, no, then he said, they might help. And they said, no, maybe now you need two. So it's all over the place. And now we're pushing vaccines on children all the way down to five. And yet, I'm looking at a piece. This was written by, let me give him credit for this. I always try to give credit for this. And this is not, I was going to actually try to book him. We'll try to get him maybe next week. Spencer Lindquist, he's with The Federalist. And he wrote a piece that when it came to dealing with all of these shots and the vaccines being given out, Spencer wrote at a meeting of the Federal Food and the Food and Drug Administration's Vaccines Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, and one voting member admitted he wasn't so sure about the COVID shots' long-term risk to children, despite the committee voting to recommend the Pfizer vaccine for kids ages 5 to 11. They've been asked, based on the totality of scientific evidence, do the benefits of the vaccine when administered as two-dose series, Pfizer-BioNTech, outweigh its risk for use in children 5 to 11 years of age? Now, John LaBoutier in the last hour said, they've been testing it for a year. They've been doing it. And yet every one of these is still experimental. Not one of them has full FDA approval. I will remind you, and I will insist over and over again, make sure you understand, I'm not anti-vaxxer. I just don't think you should be told, especially when it comes to your children. But they're going to do that. Vaccine mandates for kids are going to probably be coming pretty soon. But this one member of the committee, again, is quoted by Spencer Lindquist, in the article for The Federalist, said, here's his question, we're never going to learn how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. Do you want your children subjected to that? They're going to be experiments, and you're okay with that? Now, that's similar to the Obama plan, when they were pushing that all through, and Pelosi said, we won't really know what's in it until we vote for it. Well, that sounded stupid then, still does. But this is stupid as that was, but this is also dangerous. And keep in mind, out of 730,000 reported coronavirus deaths in the U.S., and I will insist again, not all of those are true COVID deaths. They were dying with COVID, not of COVID. And I lost a very close relative to COVID, so I'm not going to throw it out and say that it doesn't exist. But out of 730,000 reported coronavirus deaths, only, and this is from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, out of 730 reported deaths, only 138 were children age 5 to 11. 138. So they're going to give emergency use authorization that children ages 5 to 11 can get a two-dose vaccine. The advisory committee voted 17-0, one member abstaining. I don't know if that's the one that raised that question. Listen, you lose a child. I don't care what the stats are. It's your child. It's very important. I understand that. I thank God every day for the health of my children and grandchildren. I'm sure you do. And you have to make a decision for you and your family and your kids. If they have health immune issues, then you probably need to be more aware of it. But out of 730,000 reported coronavirus deaths, only 138 were children age 5 to 11. Some statistician said that amounts to 0.008%. I don't know if that's right, but the numbers are clearly in that direction. So when it comes to mandating, today the state of Florida said, back in your face.
Today, the state of Florida has filed another lawsuit against the Biden administration. This lawsuit challenges the Biden administration's order imposing a vaccine mandate on federal contractors, which was going to apply on December 8th. And so just because you're a business that has federal contracts, it's not right for the federal government to come in and rewrite those contracts and then try to shoehorn this in. And then if you don't comply, so you either have to fire people, or if you don't comply, they'll just cancel the contract entirely, even though this is something that you bid for and you won fair and square. That's not the way we think business should be done. We don't think that they have the authority to do that. But you are going to see, if we're not successful challenging this, you will absolutely see disruptions in the economy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else I was going to say. Thanks, Quentin. See, Quentin's always ahead of the curve. Me? I'm not out of the starting gate. Sounds like I am, but he's 4 miles down the road. Thank you, Quentin. I was paying attention to something else. Actually, what I was looking forward to is that in the next segment coming up, you're going to love this. Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, says, you know, Republicans just don't trust elections, right? And they're going to give you he'll say it directly. The GOP does not want minorities to be voting. That is so full of BS. Stand by, please. I have a new sponsor, just in time, that could save you a lot of trouble, maybe pain. K-Guard leaf-free gutter system. Leaves get in your gutter, rain comes, ice, you have a major costly issue. Contact my new sponsor for a free estimate. K-Guard Midwest, locally owned, so you're supporting your neighbors and this program. KGuardMidwest.com. KGuardMidwest.com.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There has been a sustained effort before the election, during the election, and after the election to this day to discredit the whole idea that we can still rely on elections to decide who should govern. And if you pull that pillar of our democracy out, the edifice comes crumbling down. And what's left other than violence? If you can't trust the ballot box to resolve differences, then what is left but violence? It's what led to January 6th, and what may lead to further violence.
He is so full of it. Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, on the readout on MSNBC with Joy Reid. They're talking about some conservative think tanks that say they kind of have intellectual cover to scandalous efforts with the Republican Party and what they're doing. That they're all anti-truth, anti-democratic cult of the former president. Who would have imagined that would have happened in this country? That's what he's saying. Because many Republicans think the election last time around was not exactly fair and square. And you're not allowed to complain. You're supposed to accept it. You remember during the debates, not once, twice, maybe three times, Hillary and Donald Trump were asked, will you concede if you lose? And Hillary said, well, of course, that's the American way. That's what we do. And Trump said, well, let's wait and see the results. And they all, what? You can't do that. That's not, you, what? Do you know, I'm looking at a story right here dated, there's so many dates. Let's see, one of the most recent was October 9, 2020. That's a while back. But again, she maintains the 2016 election was not on the level. Oh, yeah, that said she would have won the election if it were held now. And she said, without the Comey letter, I would have won. If it wasn't for the Russian collusion, I would have won. And that's why she told Biden, do not concede the election. She has blamed a long list of folks as to why she did not win. And yet when Trump questions it, or you question, you're an idiot, and you are also part of a cult, and you want to overthrow the country. And then we've got Stacey Abrams of Georgia. She still claims she won the state's 2018 gubernatorial race. She said, I'm not delusional. I know I'm not the governor of Georgia, possibly yet. She still insists, that she should be governor. Tell me, why is it that they can say that they won and you can't make a complaint about it, or that they should have won? Because that's their hypocrisy showing. And here's another example of hypocrisy. Again, Adam Schiff on the Joy Reid Show. Listen.
If the Republicans lose elections, it's because of people who are black and brown and don't look like white America. And therefore, it's inherently invalid and illegitimate. Because I think the subtext is they feel that minorities should not be participating if they're going to be decisive in an election.
Do you want to tell that to Herschel Walker, former Heisman Trophy winner who's been endorsed by Trump, and he's probably going to win that election? Do you want to tell it to many other black Republicans, male and female, that are running, and Latinos? Do you want to, and they're getting Republican support and money? They're not running on the color of their skin, one way or the other. They're running on America and what they want to do for this country. Leftists and progressive leftists, and we can see how bad it's gotten. Even standard Democrats are saying, I don't like this party anymore. This is not the JFK party. No, it's sure not. It's not even the Obama party anymore. Coming up, they tell you believe in the science. John Kerry will tell you believe in the science, but I will always ask you, are they talking about believe in medical science or political science? Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
It's been a
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Listen to the scientists. This is not a matter of ideology. It's not a matter of politics. It's about arithmetic and physics. And the scientists are doing what they're doing based on that arithmetic and physics. And they're telling us what we need to do as public people, as policymakers. That's the challenge.
That's the challenge. Listen to the science. John Kerry. He is President Biden's special envoy on climate change, the climate czar, whatever title you want to give him. I don't think Obama really believes in the climate change, because he bought this big house at Martha's Vineyard, and based on all the projections that we keep getting from these scientist, that's going to be underwater in a few years. I don't know, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 200 years. Okay, at some point it might be. I don't think Obama's going to worry in 200 years. And then I saw they put out a picture the other day of what D.C. would look like if the seas keep rising and everything, and water's everywhere, flooding the entire D.C. downtown area, that kind of stuff. I mean, Listen, I don't claim that I have any scientific knowledge whatsoever. I don't. I was actually going to be, think of this, folks, you might have missed one of the greatest radio voices next to Limbaugh and Paul Harvey. I consider the legends of radio business. I didn't really make myself third, did I? Well, maybe anyway. That you might have missed this because I was going to become a doctor. But sick people make me sick. No, it wasn't that. I encountered chemistry. Oh, no. I don't want to do any more of that. Well, I should have stuck with it, the science, because I have a good friend who ended up at Wash U, got a chair given to him, and, you know, that's a special award, an endowment type thing, because he initiated the electrical system work of the heart as opposed to the pump section. He was lecturing all the world. His father, an Arkansas farmer, was brought up to be there to watch the presentation. I'm talking to him, and I grew up in West Texas. He's like kinfolk I have. He's not comfortable in this suit and tie he's got on. He'd be a lot better off in overalls and has that accent and everything. But you know, I don't understand why they give him a chair. What's that mean? He didn't need a chair. I said, I'm trying to explain it. But what he's done, and I said, you got to be proud of him. He said, well, you just kind of wind him up and push him out the door. Well, his son achieved high marks, but he and I had a discussion one time about why I didn't go into medicine, and he said he flunked science two different times. What? And you? So maybe I could have done that. Nah, I couldn't have done it. Plus, I wouldn't have as much fun as what I'm doing right now with John Kerry. Here's John Kerry telling you, believe in the science. Listen to it. He's at the Glasgow Climate Summit coming up. That starts Monday, November 1, goes to November 2nd. UN Climate, Biden's going to be there. They're going to try to marshal commitments to cut climate-changing carbon emissions. Kerry will be there. They're trying to lower the global warming to 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. See, 5 years ago in Paris, which Obama put us into, and Trump said to hell with that, they're not doing their part. Biden still made a big pledge to cut U.S. emissions in half by 2030. That ain't going to happen. But here's Kerry. He believes in it. He does it. That's his job now. He is the czar of climate. He got asked a question in advance of the climate summit. I want you to hear the question from the host, Francine Lacqua, and then Biden's answer. Listen to this.
Secretary, have you changed anything in your lifestyle to actually help the cause against climate change?
Indeed, I have. I have a solar system for my home. I drive an electric car now. I still have the one internal combustion engine vehicle, which is being traded for another electric car. And we're making more conscious decisions about our use of energy within a house. I mean, I've become a flagrant light switch, you know, a chaser whenever I walk through a room or a building. I mean, yes, I think there's a new consciousness. Am I doing everything that I should be or could be? Probably not.
Well, let me put it this way. If he's really serious about going around turning off all the lights if they're left on in a room, he's going to have his job cut out for him. As CNBC points out, he has a home originally built in England in the 15th century that has been placed now at Sun Valley, Ohio, Idaho. Then he has a home on Nantucket Island, 3-story, 5-bedroom house. In fact, Senator Kerry and his wife, Teresa Hines, the Hines fortune, have 5 homes across the country. 5? That's a lot of light switches. $33 million in total. 5 homes. Oh, don't forget, in Boston, he has a 12-room townhouse. A 23-room townhouse in Georgetown. Still another one in Pennsylvania on 90-acre lot. Well, that's a lot of light switches. My God, I feel for the man. He's got to be worn out. But when he was asked, have you changed anything? I have a solar system for my home. Which home? All of them? He didn't say that. Oh, I drive an electric car now. Does he know where electricity comes from? Speaking of being a science czar, am I doing everything I could be or not? Probably not. Let's pick up a little bit more of this Kerry interview.
We're making more conscious decisions about our use of energy within a house. I mean, I've become a flagrant light switch, you know, a chaser whenever I walk through a room or a building. I mean, yes, I think there's a new consciousness. Am I doing everything that I should be or could be? Probably not. But I'm super conscious of the need to try to all of us do what we can to make a contribution here. The biggest thing I'm doing in my lifestyle is traveling around the world trying to do diplomacy.
There it is. My biggest contribution is traveling around the world. Do you know how he travels around the world? Oh, let me enlighten you. He has a Gulfstream. According to flight tracking firm FlightAware, the family Gulfstream spent about 22 hours and 22 minutes in the air over the past year. 22 hours, 22 minutes, that doesn't sound like. You get a lot of places, you get there in a hurry in a Gulfstream. Believe me, that's a massive jet. And using the Paramount Business Jet Emission Calculator, apparently an estimated 116 metric tons of carbon released between trips dating from February 9, 2020 to January 10, 2021. For comparison, the EPA estimates the typical passenger vehicle, your car, emits about 4.6 metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. You see the difference? 116 metric tons of carbon is his footprint in his jet when it's airborne. Your car, 4.6. Let me see. Let me do some ciphering. 116 metric tons versus 4.6. Well, I don't know. That's a big difference. They did it for me here. The calculation assumed the car drove 11,500 miles a year with the fuel economy 22 miles per gallon. So here's John Kerry. Oh, I've changed my life. We got solar. Which home, John Kerry? Which of the five homes I detailed a moment ago you have? Is it the one at Sun Valley? Is it the one on Nantucket? Boston? Georgetown? Pennsylvania? How many light switches do you have in each of those homes that you run around and turn off of? Yeah, you're doing everything. Oh, but your big accomplishment is I changed my lifestyle. I'm trying to do diplomacy, and I'm super conscious of everything I do. As usual, with the left, they will tell you what you need to do and how you should live and drive and eat and mask up and vaccinate. And you do as they say. They don't. You want another example? The other day, once again, President Biden has his mask off, finishes talking, coughs into his hand, and reaches out, starts shaking hands with people around him. Oh, my God. Super spreader. Hey, Biden's meeting with the Pope. But something is going on behind the scenes. You don't want to miss that story. Coming up next.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Susie Q, baby, I love you. Susie Q.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So President Biden, as you well know, left D.C. yesterday. He's got a couple of major summits with world leaders in Rome and Glasgow. Glasgow, of course, being the summit count, the Environmental Council meeting, trying to redo a Paris Accord. And there's, we're going, you're going to find Senator John Kerry once he finishes turning off all the lights in all five homes. He gets on his Gulfstream jet and goes over. Listen. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. I'm jealous. I admit. I'd like to have my Gulfstream. I'm a pilot. I'd like to be certified to fly it. I co-fly some jets sometimes, from time to time, when asked. Not commercial, private. I commercial, multi-engine, instrument rated, but I'm not jet rated. But I can do it. I can help out in case something comes up. The jets I'm flying, though, they can be handled by the one chief pilot. But just in case something goes wrong, normally somebody wants someone else on board. They see me and they think, you can fly this thing? I said, I wouldn't be here if I could. It's all about your safety. And then I turn around, oh, my God, what are we going to do? No, I don't. I'm only kidding. Anyway, back. Get out of the rabbit hole, Larry. You got Biden going to Rome and Glasgow. Glasgow, I mentioned what that is. This is his second foreign trip. That is going to be, as I pointed out, he is going to do this summit. Well, he's got the G20 summit also scheduled in there, Saturday, October 30, Sunday, October 31, Monday, November 1, Tuesday, November 2, the UN climate. But they're going to be talking about the economies, energy prices, minimum tax, the global supply chain blockage Saturday and Sunday. But tomorrow, he has a Vatican visit. Biden is the nation's second Catholic president, meeting with Pope Francis. You do know the first, don't you? I remember when he ran. I know the general attitude. I was not old enough to vote, but I heard the attitude of many. I was in Texas. That's pure Baptist country, pretty much. They were saying, oh, the Pope, Vatican, will be controlling our politics if he's elected. That didn't happen. The man elected, JFK. Now, meeting with the Vatican, do you think there's going to be any discussion about Biden's change on the Hyde Amendment when he decided that, as a senator, he was all for the Hyde Amendment, no federal dollars going for abortion to Planned Parenthood and so forth? Now, they still get federal dollars, but they can't spend it on the actual abortion. They can spend it on utilities and personnel and staff and supplies, but not on the actual abortion. But since he wanted to be president, he changed his mind about that. It'd be very interesting to see how that goes. Maybe you could watch a live broadcast of Biden meeting with Pope Francis at the Holy See. No, you can't. Today, the word came down, the Vatican canceling any live coverage of Biden actually greeting Pope Francis. And any live footage of the two just sitting down. That's when normally you get cameras running, even if they have to leave the room when they start talking. Now, he's met Francis three previous times. This will be his first time as president. Why? Why did they cancel it? The Vatican isn't saying. So we start speculating. I'll leave that to you. In the meantime, let me share this with you. Major League Baseball is having, of course, the World Series. In a column in the USA Today, a columnist who covers sports, Major League Baseball, Bob Nightingale, detailed his decision not to describe the Braves using the team's nickname just days after he repeatedly referred to them as the Braves in tweets and articles. He said, MLB club won't budge on Atlanta baseball team's nickname. Here's why I won't use it. He said, it's racist and offensive. And he stunned the club, and the MLB commissioner won't do it. And saying they're the tomahawk chop. No, Atlanta said, to hell with all of it. We're not going to do it. And, of course, you do know what Major League Baseball did for the All-Star game that was going to be held in Atlanta. They pulled out of there because Stacey Abrams complained they're passing laws in this state that are going to make it hard for black people to vote. That's why I'm going to lose the election. And major corporations were told to boycott the state. That would be Coca-Cola, which is headquartered there. That would be numerous other operations. And MLB folded. They moved it from black Atlanta, which would have helped a lot of minorities, to all lily white Denver. But now the Braves are in the World Series, so they get to host it. That, my friend, is what you call karma. And sometimes karma is a B-I, you got it. I love it. And I love the fact that they kept the name Braves and the tomahawk chop. They didn't name their team Braves just to mock anyone else or to make fun of them any more than the Washington team did either. Oh, yeah, they're just the Washington team now. Hey, as always, I appreciate you joining us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.